true or false? Michael Jordan's father once advised him to become a mechanic?
James, for the win! It's good! Right.
Thank you so much for listening in and welcome to NBA Insight with me, S-O-N-G Song. If you're an NBA basketball fan, fantasy league player, or someone that loves a good podcast, we've got everything for you. We bring NBA entertainment, news, and insights into one. Right now, in the NBA, we don't really know what the future holds. We don't even know if the season is going to commence. But we know a pretty big show is going on, The Last Dance. And for today, we will be covering The Last Dance episodes 1 and 2, some insights about Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, beyond what the series covered. And oh, I will be telling you if it was true that Jordan was advised by his father to be a mechanic too. Once again, here is hoping all listeners continue to stay safe, well sanitized, and socially distanced. So folks, strap on your seatbelts. We are going back to the 1980s. 80s, 80s, 80s.
And now we are ready for the third pick. And the Chicago Bulls, who have been drafting very high down through the years, and they have the third pick today.
The Chicago Bulls pick Michael Jordan of the University of North Carolina.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 1984 NBA Draft. One of the best drafts of all time, as two of the top three players drafted won 8 of the 10 NBA championships in the 90s. 8 out of 10. Who are these players? Namely MJ, Michael Jordan, and Hakeem Olajuwon. Right. Household names such as Charles Barkley, John Stockton were also part of this draft. So it was a crazy important draft, 1984. Right. Here's a fun fact. Now for this fun fact, let's go back to the 80s again. Music. Did you know Ghostbusters, the first one of my favorite all time, was released on 7th of June 1984, 12 days before the 1984 draft. Now this is random, but come on, it's Ghostbusters, man. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Okay, back to the episode. Episode 1 was, you know, it features politics between general manager Jerry Krause versus the players and head coach Phil Jackson. And the politics was really, really bad. Like, I did not know it was so blatantly outright bad. Like, it featured players shaming the general manager in public during practice and pre-games, right? I'll leave you to watch the full extent of it, but it was just downright ugly, man. No wonder the team had to split up. And what I love about the series so far is the way that they present the key players, the key people on the team. The way MJ, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Phil Jackson introduced themselves was really, really cool. And quite frankly, we haven't seen players, people of such a level of swag, you know, that this team of players had in a long while, right? These people, you know, during their time were like rock stars. Fans were screaming their names, people lining up after practices, waiting for them at the back of the buses. They were bona fide celebrities, rock stars. And aside from that, episode 1 featured mainly about MJ. Speaking of which, let me share some, you know, another fun fact, right? The Chicago Bulls actually wanted to draft Hakeem Olajuwon over Jordan. So Hakeem Olajuwon was the number one pick. The Bulls had the third pick. So Jordan was not the bona fide star. He did not have things laid out on a red carpet for him. Like, for example, a modern day LeBron James had, right? Jordan had every obstacle that he could think of in his way. So right before he joined the NBA, NBA legends were saying these things about him.
Suspense music, please.
Michael's got to realize that he is not 7 feet tall, so he's not going to carry a team in the NBA. I think he will be a great addition to the Chicago Bulls and should draw some fans to the game. But it takes more than one guy to win games. Of course, we have to bear in mind that in the 80s, the game was dominated by tall, big guys, centers. Centers were the ones that teams placed millions of dollars on. They were the franchise cornerstones, not a small 6'6" guard that could be easily injured and could not be relied upon at that point in time to win games. Which is basically one of the core themes about MJ. His competitive desire to prove people wrong kept his fire going throughout his career. He never won it alone as well, and the road was never easy. In fact, one of the biggest hurdles he had was the Detroit Bad Boys, right? They denied him for like 3 years. The Detroit team, led by Isaiah Thomas, Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman, then physically manhandled him down from the air. Right, they push him, they shove him, they made sure that he knows, hey Jordan, you ain't going to have any easy layups, any easy baskets. So what did MJ do? He became one of the first athletes to embrace hitting the weight room, the gym, right, working with now legendary Tim Grover to put on 15 pounds of muscle and eventually took down Detroit. But that was after 3 consecutive years of being beaten down by Detroit in the Eastern Conference. And since the lead rockstar is Michael Jordan in episode 1, let me share some fun facts about MJ. Music! So, back to the first question that I asked during the podcast. Was he advised by his father to be a mechanic? And the answer is yes! Oh, hell no! Before he actually began his senior year of high school, his father advised him to be a mechanic because, well, back in the day, those who worked with their hands always had a good job. Of course, Jordan had a breakout senior year in basketball and his future changed course. Can you imagine if he had become a mechanic? Well, he might have become MJ, the greatest car mechanic of all time. I don't even want to imagine that. Here is fun fact number 2. If you've noticed, when Jordan goes up for a slam dunk, a layup, a steal, anything, right? There are moments where he sticks out his tongue, right? Have you ever wondered where he learned to stick out his tongue? I have. And here is where he learned it. So when Michael Jordan's father was fixing things around the house, he would stick out his tongue. So his father actually clarified and said that, well, he learned it from his grandfather. It started further back in the lineage. So apparently he quoted as saying, as far as I can remember, it originated from my granddad. And my granddad stuck out his tongue if he is working on his car or something around the house. And as a result, the dad found himself incorporating the habit whenever he's doing things around the house. Nani? So if Jordan did not develop this behavior naturally, he likely picked it up as a habit from observing his dad's work. The family's awareness of everyone doing it means it may have been a Jordan family move long before he was famous for doing it. And why does he do it, right? So I think we find hints in what his father talked about. Many athletes actually talk about finding the zone, right? And I'm sure everyone has felt it before, you know, when you're doing something and then hours go by and then you're like, where did the time go? Right, so athletes also term it as finding the zone, where the mind shuts out everything in the world and it is typically super focused, right? You're just hyper-focused, and in the case of a basketball player, they're hyper-focused in the state of playing basketball. So to me, Jordan's tongue hanging out was generally a sign that Michael had found the zone. That was why you would see him with his tongue out when he's doing his signature moves, or when he's going for some spectacular play or some key plays that he was doing. So in the middle of a play, whatever play he's running, I'm not sure how much of Jordan's tongue game was intentional or was it habitual, but it seemed like initially it was a natural thing that he developed and it just sort of happened. And believe it or not, I mean, after some research, I realized that this thing is actually it's verified by science, is called concentration tongue.
Are you serious?
Basically, there is a correlation between the tongue's movements, or their lack of, and concentration. So whether he knew it or not, Jordan's tongue move was likely helping him elevate his game in those moments. That's incredible, right? I mean, I only recently found out about that. So here is fun fact number 3. Did you know that Michael Jordan has water phobia? So when he was a child, MJ witnessed his friend getting sucked by an ocean undertow and drowned. So Michael himself almost drowned at a baseball camp. So these events led him to have a phobia for water. So he's generally uncomfortable around the ocean, seas, and other huge bodies of water. Fun fact number 4. MJ was not cut from high school basketball. He was not. Leroy Smith was picked over him for the high school varsity team for 3 reasons. 1, the coach had a lot of seniors on the roster. Right. 2, none of them were taller than 1.93 cm or 6'3". So the coach needed Leroy Smith, who was then 2 meters 1 cm for size, instead of then 1.78 or 5'10 Jordan. So, and the third reason is, well, this is quite heartwarming. The coach wanted to give Jordan more playing time as a starter with the JV team, as opposed to sitting on a bench playing for the varsity team. So, he wasn't cut, but boy, was Leroy Smith brought out and mentioned during MJ's Hall of Fame speech, right? It was so hilarious. Okay, here's another one fact. Before 1997, this is quite crazy actually, Jordan never earned more than $4 million in a season playing basketball. So he was only the league's highest paid player in 2 of his seasons. Dude, the guy was raking in hundreds of millions for the league. He was the number one player in the league. And he was only the highest paid player twice. So I guess I'm going to stop complaining about my salary as well, right? Because if MJ only got paid his due twice, who am I to say anything? Okay, I'm not comparing myself to Jordan here. Oops, you know what that means? Fun fact number 5. Did you know that Michael Jordan almost did not sign with Nike? Yes, he wanted to sign with Adidas. A little bit of backstory here. Michael Jordan was always a Converse fan. He always wore Converse shoes. He wore it in North Carolina in college. He wore it in the Olympics. But he wanted to sign with Adidas. And what happened there? Adidas then was focused on the international market. They had no interest in basketball players. Wow, 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 wow. Talk about a lost opportunity, right? Well, Nike actually offered him a then enormous deal, $500,000 a year annually for 5 years. He went back to Adidas and go, you know, could you match that? Adidas could not. And I'm going to repeat it again. What a lost opportunity, right? So in the end, Jordan and Nike struck a deal. Nike launched Air Jordan. And by the end of 1985, Nike's Air Jordan, within a year, had earned more than $100 million in revenue. $100 million. Sorry for being such a whiner, but talk about a lost opportunity. My gosh. Cost of sponsorship, $500,000 a year. Revenue, $100 million within that same year. Oh my gosh. Uh-oh, I think my bell, has broken. It's spoiled because I have no more fun fact for episode 1. So, for episode 1, we saw the sheer will of how someone, MJ, was able to will his team to win. We saw his beginnings. We saw the politics. We saw how ugly it got. In addition, we also saw Jordan's artistry as a player, his physical strength, his grace when he carried the ball, when he ran with the ball. And really, there were other Jordan highlights like his 63-point game at the Boston Garden. And well, with that, let's move on to the next key player in episode 2, namely Scottie Pippen. But maybe before that, I feel like I missed a good chunk of this out throughout both episodes. The general manager, Jerry Krause, was cast as the villain. So previously I was talking about how he was being abused, and you could see footages of Jordan openly mocking him for his height, things like that. It was really ugly. The disrespect was insane, and not only was he not getting the respect, he was not getting the recognition that honestly, I think he does deserve, because he did build the team from nothing to having Jordan, Pippen, Horace Grant, and the rest of the team together. And one of the core things that was talked about was basically how the GM wanted to break up the nucleus of Pippen and Phil Jackson. And Jordan had already come out to say he will not play for any other coach other than Phil Jackson. So really, he was just out to break up the whole nucleus, and it was inevitable. Right, but episode 2 really focused on one of my favorite players all time, Scottie Pippen. Now for my listeners who are not very familiar, because you're new to the NBA landscape, who is this Scottie Pippen? Basically, Scottie Pippen is the Robin to Jordan, who is Batman. So Jordan never made any of the 6 championships. He never made it without Scottie Pippen. Almost all of Jordan's highlights, you'd see him in it. He was a 7-time NBA All-Star, 6-time champion, named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history during the 96-97 season, and was part of the 1992 USA Olympics basketball dream team. So, you know, let's run through some fun facts about him, because he's really, really interesting. In fact, he set the mold for modern day small forwards like Paul George, LeBron James. So all these guys, they definitely watched some clips of Scottie Pippen and incorporated some parts of their game from him. So let's dive into Scottie Pippen a little bit. So Pippen was considered one of the greatest small forwards of all time, and like I previously mentioned, set the mold for modern day small forwards like Paul George and LeBron James. So what else made him so exceptional? And this is one thing that sets him above anyone else playing that position. He was named to the all-defensive team 8 consecutive times in his 17-year career. For 8 years in a row, he was the best small forward defender. Out of hundreds of NBA players, he was number 1 for 8 years in a row in the world. Almost unheard of, right? For comparison, LeBron James had only 5 first-team selections, and they were not consecutive. So Pippen is a defensive monster. You look at his arms, arguably one of the longest arms there is, and when you watch him play, you could see he was very, very focused on defense, right? Of course, Jordan, being the offensive monster he is, helped take the offensive load away from Pippen so that he can focus on locking down the opponent's best offensive player. And it was a joy to watch him play. The way he followed, man mark, read defenses was amazing. So I'm just going to say it out loud here, right? I think in terms of a modern day player that is the most similar to Pippen, I have to say it's got to be LeBron James. Yep, I'm putting it up there. So let me give you some reasons why I say LeBron James and him are the most similar. So in the one season that Jordan retired, right?
Stop it. Get some help.
Pippen earned All-Star Game MVP honors. He led the Chicago Bulls in scoring, assists, and he led the entire league in steals. That is crazy. He averaged 22 points, 8.7 rebounds, 5.6 assists, 2.9 steals, 1.9 three-pointers, 0.8 blocks per game, while shooting 49.1% from the field and a career-best 32% from three-point line. Now, if those are not like LeBron James numbers, right, I don't know what is, right? Only LeBron James in this current era playing the small forward position, right? Let's leave out phenomenons like Westbrook, who is averaging a triple-double, and previously Derrick Rose, right? So just look at the small forwards, right? Who else is doing 22 points, 8.7 rebounds, 5.6 assists? And get that, Pippen was averaging 2.9 steals.
Seriously, what the fuck?
Right, if you rank it up to the modern NBA, he would probably be leading the league in steals right now. Probably top 3. And that is insane. And really, I think LeBron James is the current modern guy that fits the mold of Pippen. Of course, the game is that they both play is very different, you know. LeBron is now playing in the paint area. Pippen was running around, round and about. LeBron isn't exactly guarding the team's best players in the recent years, but Pippen was always on the most offensively talented player on the opponent's team. And yes, I could probably do a whole episode just differentiating between LeBron James and Pippen, but all I'm saying is, in terms of statistical similarity, height, size, length, I would place LeBron and Pippen as the most similar in today's game. Of course, arguably, you can think about Paul George. Defensively, you can think about people like Shane Battier, but you know, for a modern day comparison, I would think of LeBron James. Right, let's move on to other fun facts about him. But first, can we have some music? Alright. So, well, Pippen actually comes from a very big family. He had 11 other brothers and sisters. Now that's huge. And then another fun fact about him, this is not exactly fun for him, but during the 97-98 season, which the documentary is mainly focused on, get this, Pippen was only the 6th highest paid player on the Chicago Bulls team, and the 100th and 22nd highest paid player in the NBA. Did you know that this guy was ranked number 2 in terms of the 2nd best player in the NBA during that season, and this guy, and he's being paid 122nd?
No! God, please, no! No! No!
So, you definitely have 6 men, 7 men, 8 men that are paid higher than him, and honestly, this was one of the biggest point of contention during episode 2, where he was seriously underpaid, man. Even, I mean, I love this guy, but even Luke Longley was paid more. No, I love him, but really, he was the 5th highest paid. Really, you're gonna be paying this guy higher than Scottie Pippen? Come on! And of course, Pippen's sacrifice cannot be underestimated, right? Because you know, when you have players like that and they take such a low pay, right, it actually helped them to build a better team, right? You have more equity, you have more cash to get better players, and they landed European sensation Toni Kukoc. Right, so of course Kukoc helped them a lot in the second three-peat, right? Because he was a do-it-all. In fact, he's really, really talented. Right, so let's move on to the next fun fact about Pippen. He was also the only NBA player, he is the only NBA player to have won an NBA title and an Olympic gold medal in the same year twice. Twice, I think, was in 1992 and 1996. But if Jordan did not decline the 96 Olympics down, then it would be Jordan and him, but it's Pippen. This honor goes to Pippen. So Scottie Pippen, the man they call the Swiss Army Knife, because he can do so many things and plays as a multifunctional player, right? Is as much a driving force in the 90s Bulls team as Jordan, the Robin to Batman. And look, I've learned so many new stories from just these 2 episodes alone, and I just cannot wait to catch up on the next 2 episodes of The Last Dance, which I think focuses primarily on the role of Dennis Rodman, which is going to be crazy, and of course other core details of the 96-97 Chicago Bulls. So we've come to the end of this episode. Once again, a very big thank you for listening in. Really hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. We cannot wait to bring you entertaining and fresh new insights on the NBA in the next episode. Please remember to follow us on Spotify, on our social media, and stay tuned to the next episode of NBA Insights.